There's this commercial, this TV commercial that I've seen recently a couple of times that, I don't know, maybe you've seen it. It's from Jeep, and it's pretty cool. It begins with this guy, and you realize pretty quickly, a couple of seconds into the commercial, that he's a dad, and really kind of cool music playing in the background. And he's at his car, he's at this old Jeep, and he's cleaning it out, like kind of clearing it out. And you're thinking he's like probably gonna sell it. But then you realize he's not selling it, he's giving it to his daughter, his oldest daughter who's going away to college. And in the course of this, like maybe 60 seconds, it's real, you know, it's a commercial, he has these flashbacks. He's looking at parts of the car, and he's looking at like the scratches and the dents. And each time he sees one of them, it makes him think of the cause of the scratch or the dent. So the first one, they're all in the car. This is the flashback. Now, it begins with he sees a dent. He's outside of the car, and there's a dent on the roof. Or kind of a scratch. And then the flashback is him with his wife and the kids. The kids are little, so it's years ago, and looks like they were probably camping. They're up in the woods. They're driving the Jeep, and they're approaching this low-hanging branch. And he's looking at it, and he's coming closer, and he keeps saying, "I got it, I got it." And she's looking at him saying, "I think it's too low. You don't think you got it." He's like, "No, I got it." And bam, he crashes right into the branch. And she looks at him like, "You know, you idiot, you didn't have it." So anyway, that's one memory. And then the next scene, he's in the back seat of the old Jeep. Now this is like happening, like he's clearing out the car, and there's a tear on the seat. And then the flashback is the day they brought the dog home, their puppy, for the first time. And he opens the door, and the puppy's sitting in the back seat, and the puppy had like ripped the seat, bottom line. So he's remembering this moment. And then the last one was when he proposed to her. And he's standing outside of this Jeep. So it was a new Jeep at this point, right in the beginning. And you see him reaching out, and he's handing her the ring. And then she just sort of like runs at him and like just totally embraces him. And he kind of falls back into the car, the side of the car. So he scratches the side door of the car, I think with his keys. So all of these scratches and dents produce memories. In fact, the commercial ends with these words: "There are no dents or scratches, only memories." Jeep Grand Cherokee. Remember, it's a commercial. But it was a really great commercial. No dents or scratches, only memories. That's a great sentiment, isn't it? But I also think, if we're honest, some dents and scratches in the course of life aren't very, you know, sentimental. Hopefully most are, hopefully lots are, but they can't all be. Some of them are just scratches and dent moments in life. The commercial, I think, is very kind of retrospective, very nostalgic. I mean, his girl is going away, leaving for school. I mean, just all the emotions with that. So in the moment, or in these moments, those moments in that commercial, it's like they're very heartwarming. But, you know, I think a lot of times in the moment, when they happen, it's not always so heartwarming. Like they're not always so sentimental. I remember I was thinking about years ago. I was young. This would have been the mid 70s, and we were going on vacation. We had a 1973 Chevy Impala, and I think we were going up to the Adirondacks for a week. So in this one car, we had my mom and my dad, four kids, my grandmother, and a dog in this one car. Now, I mean, I was the Impala was a pretty big car, but it was a sedan. Like, it certainly wasn't an SUV. It wasn't a minivan. Like, it was a regular car. So it was packed. I remember we were on the road. We had just gotten on the road. We weren't even driving long. And the dog gets car sick. The dog throws up all over the place, which then made my sister nauseous. She threw up all over the dog, actually. The car stunk. The dog looked like an alien. My brothers were calling her Vomit Dog for the rest of the vacation. We weren't even on the Throgs Neck Bridge at this point. This had all happened. It was insane, like, in retrospect. I'm thinking, like, what must my parents have been thinking? There's no way they were smiling in that moment, that scratch or dent. They must have been yelling and just like, it must have been chaos. It's interesting, this gospel, he wanted them to see the scars. Jesus shows up, resurrected, and he wants them to see the damage that was done. I wonder why. Why was that important to him to say, hey, look, look at my hands. Look at my side. Well, I guess probably for a couple of reasons. One might have been kind of practical. To show proof. Hey, it's me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not some imposter. This is me. Good Friday? Yeah, this is me now. It's proof. But I think there had to be other reasons for that, more compelling, important reasons. And I think maybe this is one of them, like a reminder. He wanted to remind them of what they were capable of, what they had done, the betrayal, the denial, the panic, the lack of courage. I don't think it was to put them on some weird guilt trip. I think it was just a reminder, like a wake-up call. Like, man, look at what we're capable of in bad moments, in weak, frightened moments, in selfish moments, what we're capable of doing. It's humbling, isn't it? And again, like, I don't think we should be dwelling on that 24/7, but I think we should put it like in a proper place of memory. Man, I can never go down that road again. Whatever that road was. And sometimes it's just good to kind of see the scratch and dents, to see the wounds that maybe we're kind of responsible for. I remember this kind of famous photo when President Kennedy was assassinated, is the picture of Lyndon Johnson being sworn in. It was the day of. I mean, the president was dead. They had to immediately swear in the vice president. So they did it on Air Force One. They were still in Dallas. Jacqueline Kennedy's there. It's a terrible picture. Like, she just looks, look on her face, she's so distraught. But worse than that, it was the blood on her suit that she was wearing. She hadn't been shot, but she jumped on the president when he had been shot, so his blood was all over her. And she's standing next to him at this swearing in. And apparently, her people, or the president's people, the aides, they got to her, and they got another outfit for her. to change into. And she said, no, I'm not going to change. And then famously said, I let them see what they did to him. Let them see the blood. It's a little bit of this, like, let them see the scars and the scratches and dents. And I don't think that means, oh yeah, so I'm gonna hold you hostage forever for some terrible, stupid thing you did to me a million years ago. I'm never gonna let you forget. We all know people like that who got this knack of, they just kind of remind you of something you'd like to forget. It's not that. There's no way Jesus was about that. But is there a place to just remember, like, man, what we are capable of? Like in a moment of anger, stuff that can come out of my mouth, in a moment of impatience or selfishness, in a moment of, you know, greed, and I just become blinded by something or someone, and I just want to possess it or them. And like, how did I do that? How did I become this person? It's not me. And again, just to kind of like, hey, keep the memory of those scars somewhere close enough. Not 24/7 close, but close. I remember when I was in college, I had a buddy of mine who was he was a really good athlete. He didn't play college ball, but played everything in high school, and even in college, every intramural sport practically you could play, this guy did, and he just killed it. He was just a very natural athlete. And I remember telling me how he was also kind of a nut when it came to competition. He was way too competitive when he was a kid, when he was in high school. Couldn't lose. He was a terrible teammate. And it really became an issue. You know, he got benched a couple of times on different teams because of this. He couldn't keep it together when they were losing or when they had lost. At any rate, one day, he loses this game, or the team loses, and he's out of his mind. And he went home, and he punched the wall in his bedroom. He put his fist through the bedroom wall. And his parents were like, okay, this is it. Like, enough. Like, this is crazy. Like, he's got to get this together. At any rate, he told me how, I guess they were planning on kind of repainting the kitchen, the bedroom, his bedroom, prior to that. So a week or two later, they start painting the bedroom. And they left the hole in the wall. And the kid was like, Dad, like, what are you doing? Like, aren't you going to fix the hole? And he goes, no, I'm not fixing the hole until you fix yourself. We keep the hole until you grow up and you start learning how to be part of a team, until you start accepting the fact that you're not perfect. And he said he hated it. He hated looking at this hole in the wall. Everything else around it was painted and redone. It's kind of interesting take, parental response. He said it woke him up. By the time I knew the kid in college, he wasn't that way at all, or at least not nearly the way he described. Sometimes we just need to look at what we've done. It's like a healthy reminder, maybe. Maybe it's like good guilt, healthy guilt, what we're capable of. So anyway, maybe there's one reason why he's showing off his scars to the apostles. Here's maybe another, and it's almost the opposite of the look at what you've done thing. Right before he says, look at the scars, he says, peace. To these guys who must have been feeling not a lot of peace. The guy that they betrayed, the guy that they had ran from and denied, has shown up. They must have been like mortified, guilt-ridden. And the first thing he says is, peace. Like, it's okay. And then he goes, take a look, don't forget, punch in the wall kind of thing, like, don't forget what you guys did. And then he goes back to it. The next thing he does, he says, peace again. Like, he bookends the scars and the scratches and the dents. He bookends it with peace. And maybe that's what he wanted us to know more than anything. Mercy trumps judgment. Hey, and judgment's got its place. We got no judgment. You got lawlessness. There is right and there is wrong. It's crazy. Like the culture we live in today, it seems to me like so much. Spend time on a college campus. It's like nobody wants to talk about truth, objective stuff, right and wrong. Some things are black and white. I mean, not everything, but lots of things are. There is right and there is wrong. No, there's not. No, there's not. It's like it's all a matter of opinion. If it's true for you, then it's true. No, it's not. True is true. You're speaking and living and talking the opposite of the truth. Don't tell me 1 + 1 = 9. It doesn't. In no scenario will it ever equal 9. Don't tell me it's true. So you got that going. Here's the other crazy part. Like, I think it seems to me like a culture that becomes less Christian, it becomes less merciful. Like, think about like the whole look at like cancel culture. You screw up, you're done. Well, wait a minute, I know I screwed up, but I'm not, that's not reflective of me. No, you did it, you said it, you're done forever. Hey, that's what happens when a culture loses its Christian spirit. Because we are about mercy more than anything. So if you're dealing with or operating in or even have embraced kind of like a cancel mentality, you're done. You stepped over this line, it's over forever. I don't know. I don't think that flies. Not if you listen to this gospel. All he keeps saying to the guys that allowed him to be murdered was, peace, guys, peace. And here's the last part of it. This is a great gospel. Here's the last part. After all of that, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So these guys, you know, they weren't sent to some penalty box for what they had done. He sends them out. They're not given walking papers, they're given marching orders. This is when these guys took over. These fundamental screw-ups who are given another shot and they become hero saints because he didn't cancel them. Because he showed mercy. He's not done with them. And you know what? Whenever in the Gospels you hear Jesus, the disciples being referenced, that's us. We're them. We are the descendants of the disciples. So whatever he says to them, he's saying to us. And to them he said, I'm not done with you. He's never done with us. You know that Jeep commercial? There are no dents or scratches, only memories. That's nice, but it's not totally true. There are dents and scratches that will never produce smiles. They'll never make a heartwarming commercial. Because they just weren't good. Some scratches and dents we just wish never happened. But we survive them because we've been forgiven and sent. We've been sent to make memories that count.